Oh, God.
Way up in the air, actually left of the green.
And another ball.
There's a ball there. Oh, my gosh.
Look at that thing. Springs out of the earth.
Yeah, unbelievable. And actually, fairway, that could have gone anywhere. Look at that. It was well in front of that ball. Just jumped up.
Final hour, fist pump time on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Got the entire morning squad back together again. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Butt. We got Pepe back from vacation. Aiden holding it down, running the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Dallas Cowboys press conference taking place at 1 p.m. today. KNC going to get us started. And then it'll be us and the G-Bag Nation next week from California, 9:20. The clip that all the shows are playing. Bobby talked me into playing it. I'm not going to do a whole topic on it, I promise. But we'll play the clip that all the shows are running with. I'm calling it the British Open. I'm not calling it the Open. Scottie Scheffler dominates, wins another major. And now we see if people start going close to LT Gray. He was asked about the Tiger comparisons. He goes, there's only one Tiger. Look, this isn't obvious statement, but Scottie Scheffler is never going to beat Tiger Woods in terms of impact. That's a no duh. From cultural, race, popularity, personality, all of it. And Tiger didn't even have any great personality, but Scottie wants no part of that spotlight. You know, he wants no part of it whatsoever. You asked earlier if he's the second best golfer we've seen. Build me the perfect golfer. Like we do quarterback, you know those charts that come out? Who's got? Give me the arm, give me the brain, give me the legs, give me the this and that. Between Tiger, Scottie, Phil, give me the games of each. I want to see how many you take from Scottie.
You take this one, Chop.
You would take iron play from Scottie.
Okay.
Scottie's...
And his putter was fantastic this weekend.
Yeah, his putter was fantastic this week. Phil... historically, he's probably the best putter. Tiger. See, people think Tiger was like this guy. He would always hit the ball down the middle of the fairway. That's not really what Tiger was the greatest, and it's not even close, the greatest scrambler I've ever seen. What that means is Tiger Woods could make birdie from literally any position on the golf course. He could be behind a tree on a par four, 260 yards away. And still put that within 6 feet.
So he was the best in trouble.
It's not even close. Tiger Woods won all of his golf tournaments because he was never in trouble. When everybody else is in trouble, Tiger was like, I got the shot. I'll loop it around the street. Phil was great at that too, but nobody was close to Tiger. Tiger took shots. There's a shot in the 2000 U.S. Open at Pebble. It was in the seventh or eighth hole. Somebody, Tiger hit a ball from the rough, 6-inch rough, over a tree, over a ravine, to within 10 feet. And whoever the announcer was like, this is not fair. We're not playing the same tournament. and that's Tiger. Tiger was, nobody saved par better than Tiger. Nobody made clutch putts better than Tiger. You know, did Phil the best short game ever? Did Phil have the best brain? Yeah, Phil had the best brain. You had the brain of Phil.
How about composure? The Scotty?
Tiger.
What about off the tee? You haven't picked a driver yet. Well, you don't want him driving regular cars, but...
maybe Phil. Phil was really good.
All right, so you're only taking Scotty's irons.
Yeah. Mentality, so Tiger was... You know, Tiger was the most mentally strong... Scottie would have the perspective to say, hey, look, I need to take a step back.
Percentage chances that Scottie can become Spieth after Jordan's amazing run of three majors, Scottie's a four.
Well, I mean, I think the thing would be, can Spieth become Scottie?
No. Give me the percentage chance that Scottie comes back to earth like Spieth.
Oh! Oh.
Spieth ain't going to become Scottie, I don't think.
I see what you're saying. So
why is this not a flash in the Spieth pan?
It might be.
Well, that's why I'm asking your opinion.
I think the difference is that Scottie has, like, I mean, he's got 22 PGA Tour victories in what seems to be 5 years. right? Seems to be 5 years.
And Jordan did not have that close?
Spieth for his career has 16.
And he's been around
and he spent 26 weeks at number one. Scheffler's been number one for 148.
But I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah. I'm just like...
Spieth's been around twice the almost twice the length, right, of Scotty. Like, Scotty's first major that he played in was like 2019. Spieth won a couple majors in 2016. You know, like, he's been around for a little bit longer.
And he closes. He's got 54-hole lead, it's over. It's the 10th straight event he's won while going in as the Sunday leader. The longest streak on the tour since Tiger did it 37 times. This was the 10th time he closed. Tiger did it 37 straight times if he was leading Saturday.
If you want to just bury yourself.
Rory like gave it up. He said inevitable. He used the word inevitable on Saturday, and DeChambeau said, yeah, he's in a league of his own.
Yeah, it was inevitable that he was going to win this thing, and he is in a league of his own. Now, he's not going to catch Tiger.
He's going to retire in 3 to 4 years like I gave the hot take earlier.
Well, what is he, 29 years old, 30 years old? You know, Tiger at... You know, when Tiger won his fourth major, he was 24, 25 when he won his fourth major. I mean, he's already 5 years ahead of the pace. So, he's not...
Wait, the Tiger distance I thought was the same.
Right. But Tiger won his first major at 21, right? He won the 97 Masters. He was born at 75, so he was 22 years old. Like,
hey, it's Tiger.
He was way ahead of where Scotty is.
My favorite tweet was, what does Rory have to do? What does he have to shoot Sunday? And the answer was Scotty. He has to literally shoot him. He has to go ahead and take him out. So Scotty Scheffler, DFW, getting it done, celebrating somewhere at a Chipotle near you. Let's talk about some of the other things in this tournament. We came back with that Rory shot. This is the part of golf I hate, okay? Rory McIlroy got penalized for that. Explain what happened.
He got penalized. He did? I didn't know.
I read he dropped a stroke because he hit two golf balls on the same shot.
Okay, so yeah, so the rule there would
be... He ultimately had a bogey on the 11th hole.
I didn't know that he got a penalty for that. So there was a ball that was buried under his. I don't think he saw it, obviously. No,
of course not.
So he hits his ball, and another ball comes popping up. You know, they would say that would be hitting two golf balls. Did you hit the right ball? That's where the penalty would come in, is what ball did he hit first? He may have called... He would have had to call the penalty on himself. But yeah, that was a strange thing. You never see that.
So what, that ball got stepped on into the ground, had to
have? It would have gotten stepped on. It would have plugged. It would have been a ball that was there.
Like mud?
Yeah, so that would have been a ball that was there just on the course in general. So it could have been a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It could have been a year. It could have been sitting there for a year. The patrons, the fans, they're walking the course. They trample on it. They probably don't allow carts on that golf course. So like, it would have been somebody who played it. That ball could have been there forever. We have no idea.
Popped out of the ground.
Pops right out of the ground straight up. And I guess they gave a penalty on it. That's, to me, that's a little cheap.
Yeah.
That's a little cheap. You know,
why is that even a rule? You should have to hit the same ball twice.
So that used to be a rule. It's called a double hit.
Yeah.
Now, if you hit the same ball twice, they don't call it a penalty. So it'll happen a lot around the green. You'll see guys chip it. The ball comes popping straight up, and then your club hits it again. That used to be a penalty. It's not a penalty anymore.
All right. You were not happy that the LIV guys were put in the shadows over the pairings. Now you believe that the LIV guys are being affected?
They are being affected by their own desire to leave. So Cam Smith is the only golfer this year to play in and miss the cut in all four majors. Cam Smith won the British Open a couple years ago. He was the next big thing. When the LIV Golf got him, it was like, oh no. Like, they got Cam Smith. Like, he's the next up-and-coming great golfer. And he was basically like, no, I just want to go back to Australia. I'm taking my money. I want to spend more time there. And the LIV allows me to do that. Well, LIV did not have... They did not have a great week. And we are really starting to see the effects that LIV Golf has had on these players. Bryson is still, he's the one that is consistently kind of still there. Brooks will have a good round and then he'll fall off. Dustin, he's just older. Phil, he's just older. Patrick Reed, it's like, all right, he'll be around.
I mean, Dustin Johnson, I haven't seen or heard his name since we saw him at LIV.
Now, he had a good week. You know, he was 6-under. He was tied for 23rd, took home 138 grand. Good for him. But for the most part, the LIV guys are kind of like, just they're not really in contention at these things. And I think the schedule and the fact that they don't play and the lack of competitive golf that they're playing and the fact that, like, they don't have to be focused. They don't have to worry about winning week to week to keep food on the table. They got their money. I think it's starting to have an effect on them. And you see these guys, like, yeah, Brooks is a dad now. There's that whole thing. The moment he became, if you look at his timeline, July 2023, the moment he became a dad, it's like he started to, like, not really make cuts anymore.
Not affecting Scotty.
It's not affecting Scotty. It's not.
Didn't affect me.
There you go. It did not affect Scotty, and there's other guys that it hasn't affected. I didn't go back to see when Tiger had his kids.
So I'm like Scheffler, and Woolchuck is like Koepka.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's more jokes in there with Woolchuck that I'm not going to go with.
And Sergio.
Open up your damn ears and listen.
And Sergio completely ended. Sergio destroyed the driver market. The brand new purchase a driver market, Sergio Garcia, ended it. On the second hole, he hit a shot, slams his driver into the ground, snaps it. So in the rules of golf, once you snap a club, you can't replace it.
Oh, okay? I love that rule.
You can't replace it.
That's awesome.
I think they allow you to replace it if it snaps because of a regular swing.
Right.
So if the Not club head temper. Flies off, if you snap it though, which I did, that was one time I broke a club. That day I hit that round you talked about.
Oh, where you missed 2-foot putts.
Snapped my sand wedge over my golf bag. Once you do that, you can't get a new one back. Well, he goes out and he shoots a 68 despite losing his driver on the second hole.
Wow.
Proving.
Old man golf.
That you don't need a driver. Kids, tee off at that 3-wood. It goes about the same distance.
3-iron.
The 3-woods today are so loaded. If you hit a driver 300 yards, that 3-wood's going 285, and it's straight. Hit that 3-wood. You don't need the driver. He killed the driver market with one day.
Is the driver just like the sexy, enticing
the big dog
one to stay away at the bar?
If you could be a disciplined golfer.
Trouble.
If you could be a
like this is like losing to Spittle.
I'm looking
at Spittle going to get his 5-iron on every tee.
Every tee.
And hit it a buck 70 right down the middle, and we wouldn't hit it.
If you're like me, I am looking for every excuse to hit a driver.
Yep.
Like, don't even tempt me. Oh, there's water right? Okay. So I'll just go over it. You know, like, don't give me an excuse to hit the driver.
Yeah.
Even though I know I should hit the 3-wood.
Right.
I know I should tee up with this. If I want to score, I tee up with this 3-wood.
Yep. It's but not as fun.
Not as fun.
What?
I want to score. I got to tee off with this 3-wood. Yeah. A good observation.
And that's your contribution to the whole segment. Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece before they leave for Oxnard at 9:40 here on DFW Sports Station. All right. The Tyler Smith quote that everyone is talking about. And do the Cowboys already have a lazy rookie running back? The Red Zone, your football fix after this.
How many people want to eat a W tonight?
You know what I like about the media? They think you can just dial 1-800 and get a quarterback.
Yeah!
And we start the Red Zone, your football fix, every day at 9:20 here on your home of the Cowboys with Sean and RJ with the breaking news. Will Levis is going to undergo surgery on his throwing shoulder. His season is done. And now there will be no pressure or interference with Cam Ward, who one of his teammates, who is he's a good defensive lineman, but he barks loudmouth.
Jeffrey Simmons?
It may have been Jeffrey Simmons. He's like, have you ever seen such disrespect or lack of focus and attention on a number one pick? And I agree with him. I haven't seen a Cam Ward segment, a Cam Ward discussion on any of these shows. You know, I don't know about NFL Network.
You know why, though? It's
because he plays in Tennessee.
Not that they're the same player. Doesn't he feel so much like the Alex Smith number one? Like where it's like, okay, you were the best quarterback, I guess, and they needed a quarterback, and so they took you.
Yeah, it's also like
the Titans are like, he went on this rant too. What did you say his name was?
Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, he's like, oh, no one ever talks about. Yep, yeah, you're one of these franchises that could be wiped off the earth and no one would care except for Roy White.
They are one of the few.
It's a great question.
How many college football teams in the state are bigger than the NFL team in the state? Like how around the country? Like, you know, if the Titans are not, they're not even the most talked, they're the NFL teams, they're not even the most talked about team in their own city.
Yeah, Vanderbilt.
Of football. Like, George is the same way. George is bigger than the Falcons.
It was Jeffrey Simmons.
But the point is, there's not many, right? There's not many. When you're not even the number one team in your own state, how are you going to get any kind of national publicity?
This is more about Cam Ward, I feel like, than the Titans, though. Like if this was if Caleb Williams had gone to the Titans last year, people still would have talked about Caleb
Williams.
Yes,
but if Cam Ward went to the Giants, the Jets, I mean, we're hearing a lot more about him.
Okay, but that's specific to that market. Mm-hmm. Cam Ward could have gone third to the Giants, and he's getting talked about more with the Giants.
All right.
Yeah, you're right.
We're not going to do a whole segment on this.
It's the biggest story of the day. Have you not seen the headlines?
Set it up.
Gosh, look, Sean, we're going to school you on something about called playing the hits, all right?
Maybe Pat Donio ask you to think one year.
So I got to stop asking offensive ask Reddit questions while he's got his daughter in car line then. He's told me to stop doing that. Okay, so Tyler Smith arrived with the team in Oxnard yesterday, and Sean's already rubbing his eyebrows, just hating that this is even a story. I hate that it's a story, but it's what's getting talked about today. Tyler Smith, what are your expectations for this season?
Super Bowl champions. That's always the expectation. So, yeah.
You think that's a realistic goal?
I think it is a realistic goal. Because we can win the Super Bowl. Like, why not? Why can't we win? Do you think it's unrealistic?
You think the roster is in place to do that?
I think it is in place to do that, yes, sir.
It sounded like Deucey he was talking to there.
Yeah. And I like Mike.
I've never seen.
We all like Mike.
Yeah. I've never seen Tyler Smith do that with anybody, though. Because, why? You think it is?
Like, why, basically, why can't we win?
Him flipping around, going, like, do you think it's not ready? Like, yeah. You tell me. I think he's feeling the. All right. It looked almost like, what do you want me to say?
Yeah.
We're supposed to. Yes. But this is now what it is that Tyler Smith is declaring that the Cowboys.
And then the follow ups from the robots over there, the blind ratings loyalists. Is it. There What's it is. He's on there again. Can the Cowboys? Is it fair? Is it accurate? I think we're making a cognizant effort on this program. On this program, I won't speak for anyone else. We're not doing this lazy headline porn crap. We're just gonna move past this stuff.
This drought.
This generic. This headline grabbing garbage. Where they can sit there. But I guess it works.
This is the argument. I think we've had this argument on the show before. But it's the thing that I'll always say to people when it comes to this kind of comment. There's a difference to me between standards and expectations. Like, you can...
Goals.
Like, or whatever else. Yeah, like, to me, it's like, yes, the standard is to win a Super Bowl. That should be pretty much everybody's like, this is the standard for success. And if we don't do it, it's not successful or whatever else. There are a lot of teams who it's not. To me, the Cowboys, whether they're good enough or not, just like at the University of Texas, whether they are prepared for it or not, the standard at the University of Texas is we need to be competing for a national title, whether we're good enough or not. That doesn't mean you expect to, but that's what you should be doing every year.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with the Cowboys. You should be contending every year.
Yeah, I unfortunately don't know if they have that as their standard up top.
I think Schottenheimer does.
I think they do, and that's also why they refuse to ever rebuild. Because they have this false standard that they have to...
I don't know if it's the standard to win the Super Bowl. I think it's the standard to remain relevant.
Well, that's...
There's a big difference. And I agree.
Isn't that relevance, though? Isn't contending relevance?
I don't think it eats them up. I'm talking about Jerry and Steven. Let me put names on it. Stop dancing. I think Brian Schottenheimer does have that standard. He's starting off. I'm not totally fully convinced that it keeps Jerry and Steven up at night. That's just me. They won't be happy that I said that. Hopefully, it's way too early for them in California, and Jerry's eating his McGriddle with salt right now.
I think...
Still the strangest condiment to put on a already sodium-packed
sodium bomb
meal.
Yeah, right.
I think it's... I think it absolutely...
Let me add some black pepper on this.
Yeah.
Now I cayenne.
Just, yeah. I know too many people... there who have said, like, they've seen how much it eats him up when they don't win, Jerry. Like, it really does.
You want me to end this whole discussion with you? You want me to end the argument? Shut you down?
It's not an argument.
No, I'm a dunk on you. Ready?
Go ahead.
The fact that he won't not be the GM shows his ultimate desire. That's the beginning. That's game, set, match. It's beginning and end that he has to do it his way. He does. It doesn't eat. He might be at an 8 out of 10 of desire.
Do you think
he might be at a 9 out of 10? But you cannot win the argument with me because he won't get. He would never get out of the way for 30 years.
So
you don't want it enough. It doesn't eat away at him enough because he has to do it his way.
But see, that's the thing. I think the last 10 years, the structure of that organization is not typical GM. It's instead he is sitting there building consensus and choosing to veto or not, and most of the times choosing not. So it's more just like he's serving in an executive role.
He's still more involved than other owners, in my opinion.
He's more involved than other owners. He is involved way less than other GMs.
Okay, that's an interesting way to put it. I don't really want to talk about this too much.
Because I'm winning.
Have your Tyler Smith topics. Is it fair? Are they really a contender? Let's talk about this Jaden Blue thing and tick Bobby off. This comes from Glenn Stretch Smith, who was... He was on Galloway's show, right? With Mosley.
Mosley, yes. Him and Mosley at Stretch.
And he was a scout?
I never knew anything about him until I heard him there with Randy. But yeah, apparently after Bross went to the, I guess he went to Cowboys.com first before he came over here, he replaced Broadus.
Well, I guess he was a stretch.
I don't know. I met him maybe one time.
All right, well, Glenn Smith, what do you know about him?
I know that he was like technically a coach for 2 years in 99 and 2000.
All right, so he was employed by the Cowboys 99, 2000.
Yeah, he was some sort of like almost intern assistant coaching role.
Here he is talking about Jaden Blue on the Locked on Cowboys pod.
I'm hoping he's setting the tone for his former teammate at the University of Texas, because that's really the guy I'm worried about. I'm already hearing some rumblings out of the building about the running back that they drafted and him being, you know, kind of just borderline lazy, not in the building, doing his off-season workouts. So maybe he's saying, hey, one Longhorn to the other Longhorn, get your ass in here and let's get going a little bit, because I think that's a firm message that needs to be sent.
Dang. So Jaden Blue.
If the first time I've ever heard about you is like related to a story like this, that kind of tells me everything in general. Like there's nothing about, like, this isn't just, I have, because of working around the Cowboys and different things like that, well, I have an awareness of people that I sometimes got to wonder if other people, when we reference them, have an awareness of them. Because I'm like, I may be around it, so I may just know too many of the people on the edge. I'm talking about the hundreds of people that revolve around the star that I know of, this person's name doesn't come up. Here's what I'm saying. When there's no other rumblings talked about by anybody else except this person on that platform with that person, Marcus Mosier and everything else that they do, I immediately, even if I had heard it, would discount hearing it.
But you can't speak for his connections that could be there for 25 years. He may know. So why would he just make this up? I'm not saying it's true.
He's on a platform that lends to, because.
But
this
why
is,
just attack Jaden Blue? I'm not
saying he didn't. He may have heard something. I'm saying that this would be the loosest of connections that he's even tying back, because nobody in that building knows him.
Were there Jaden Blue questions coming out like this?
Not about laziness. There were questions about, is he a little bit of like a problem child? But like that was just for some teams. Dallas didn't have him flagged for that, but other teams did.
See if Brugler wrote about work ethic. I thought I heard that it was the last line of the scouting
maturity
report.
Maturity was the thing that was the last line of the report. But it, like, specific laziness doesn't work. No,
because
like,
I'd have to know that a trainer in the building, or I guess I can.
I mean, if we're talking about Stretch goes back to what, 2000. There's only. I mean, you could probably count on one hand the amount of guys that are in that building from the year 2000.
Year 2000.
Right, yeah. So you could probably whittle it down. And I don't really know him, but I don't know that he's a make-it-up guy. But if he...
You weren't over there at 103.3 with him?
We may have crossed paths very, very, like,
that's what I'm
slightly,
saying.
But
RJ worked
know.
In the same building and doesn't know who this is. That should tell you what this is.
I was also at night at the time, so, like...
There's enough people over in that building, the Cowboys building, who say they don't know who this is, or if they know who he is, they know that he's not somebody that would know.
You have never not been able to recite everything about anyone I've ever asked you about that was in the building when you worked there.
I think we may have crossed paths.
Yeah.
I don't remember, though.
DeMarvion Overshone wrote on Instagram, good news from the doc, we getting active this season. Realistic or too optimistic, Bob Overshone?
I think it's been within the realm of possibility that he could come back at the end of the year. It's been a question of like how likely is that? It's been something that they were shooting for. It's nice that, that's where they're talking about today in July, that the doctor says.
I like to ask Shireen Williams, who plays more games, Diggs or Overshone this year? Because Shireen keeps suggesting that Diggs could miss the whole year. It might be a 50-50 for her. For you, you think it's easily Trayvon.
Well, because I think where I would guess that's coming around to is they literally haven't hardly seen Trayvon. So they don't know. So right. They're not going to commit to anything with him.
Yeah.
Overshone, I would still say, I think we had talked about this earlier. I think he shows up for the last 3-4 games of the year.
I think this Jaden Blue report is good for Cowboy fans because Jaden Blue starting this week may have that in the back of his head. So you may get extra effort and you may get him on super good behavior. So I don't even care whether it's credible. Well, I would care if it's true because I don't want you to have a lazy player, but I think this is going to work in your favor for Jaden Blue making an even better rookie impression out in California with this out there. Because he did respond to it. He's like, y'all making a fake reports about me. So it is.
Hopefully we see Stretch out there in California. I'm thinking.
You better hope you don't see Mosier because I ain't going to help you. I go pull him off of you.
No.
I don't worry. You can put one arm behind my back. I'll take care of that albino loser.
877-881. Bobby. 877-881-1053. Franklin Franco, injury attorney, text line. Let's crosstalk with a KNC masterpiece next. Let's crosstalk with a KNC masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fam. What's up?
It's a tough day, guys. Sean, I know you've been thinking about this. This is the last time you're going to get to see me for more than 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Three weeks?
That's right.
Are you off the week after we're back?
When you guys come back, I'll be in Germany.
Oh! Why did you decide Germany?
Doing stuff for Jesus.
Oh, this is the trip you were talking about. Yeah.
He's teaching Germans how to play baseball.
That is part of the trip for sure.
I didn't know you could play baseball. I know Corey can.
I can play baseball.
You can?
Yeah.
What do you think is your top level of expertise? You're going to stand on the diamond and start with what?
Well, I mean, a lot of the kids who are going to be working with don't know anything about baseball. So
ground balls.
That gives me an inherent advantage right there.
Although,
I was told we have a packet we need to read. Some of the rules are different. And I was like, what? So I have to catch up on that.
Yeah, because there's a women's baseball league starting. You may have to teach them because I didn't know that there was women's baseball being played versus softball.
As long as they pay them what they owe them.
There's a team. There's been a team that's been around for years out of like Colorado, and they've played. They've played for years and years and years. You will randomly come across a woman playing college baseball or high school baseball. There's some
Monet Davis is going to try out. Thanks to Tolo Rubin for sending that 600 players. For the Women's Pro Baseball League set to launch next year. And Ruben also said this will get more love and viewership than the WNBA.
There's a women's a professional softball league. They're constantly on FanDuel TV and stuff. You constantly see them. There's only four or five teams. The crowds, they're packed. You know, whatever stadiums they play in, they're pretty crowded.
Can I ask you a women's baseball question real quick?
Sure.
Do you think at the end of League of Their Own, Gina Davis dropped the throw at home plate on purpose so her sister could score the winning run and her team could win?
I don't know. I don't have a same sex sibling, so I don't know the rivalry that would go on there if you would ever allow your same sex sibling to win. Now, maybe if you're the big brother and you want to let the little brother get over on you one time because, you know, their life's falling apart.
That is kind of what's happening in the movie.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. And then Dottie, you know, she had it all. She had it made. She had it made. So maybe.
Kevin,
I don't think so.
What did you think of the WNBA story? Wearing the shirts basically saying, pay us what we're owed.
Okay.
Because these guys all against, I had one person that I thought could convince them that they are wrong in the ladies deserving more. What do you think?
Yeah, so I really wish I could have been in the meeting to hear, because it sounds like they're like a pretty good ways apart, right? So I really wish I could have been in the meeting to kind of hear like their opposing trajectories. But it is a tough sell. Like for all the people that are upset, I get it. It is a tough sell for a league that's been around like 30 years and has literally never made a profit. But it does appear as though they're trending in that direction. So I really want to know what the owner's projection is that would have them like so far apart from the player.
Do you trust Dave Portnoy's business sense?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
This is Portnoy, Barstool Sports, FS1 deal, talking about why everyone is wrong for laughing at the ladies.
If you have ratings going through the roof, you're the women's Final Four beating the men's Final Four in rankings. There is a ton of money to be made. They have some of the most marketable athletes right now in all sports, in their sport, in their young. This league, that $250 million for a franchise, that's going to be $1 billion in 10 years. The franchise fee will be $1 billion. So, yes, I would do it in a second. I don't care about the past. I don't care what they've done for the past 10 years. I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about all the sponsors who want to be part of this league, the TV deals they're going to be able to sign. In the rookies are getting $75,000. It's insane. They're not saying they want to be paid like NBA players, but they deserve more of the revenue. And why would they ever in a million years sign any deal that's remotely similar to the past when they, for the first time in the history of the league, have all the power?
Good points.
I mean, I do think there are some good points there. It is also not a good sign that the WNBA is like their third outlet for revenue behind maybe playing overseas or now doing Unrivaled and stuff like that. Like, that doesn't feel acceptable. If he's going to talk about right here and right now, though, I think it gets a little dicier. Who are the marketing people that have shown that they draw ratings besides, even at the college level, Caitlin, Paige, and Angel Reese? Who are those players that have shown that they can draw ratings? Because I think there's a lot of better players and great names. But if he's going to bring up college, that trio is what drew the ratings in college.
Yeah, like Taurasi didn't. I mean, she won every year.
Yeah.
The ratings were what they were, right? You know, there was plenty of Breonna Stewart. She won every year. Like, the ratings were what they were. Candace Parker, like, the rate, you know what I mean? It's just like.
Sophie Cunningham has about 1.5 million TikTok followers.
Is she the one on Caitlin's team?
Yeah, she's the tall blonde one. Yeah. She does taekwondo.
Yeah. And she's hot. I mean, let's be
honest. I'll take a little sip.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
there you go.
She's attractive.
Was that a drop? Yeah. I think it is a drop.
I can say it live if you want. I'll take a little sip.
So I can say it live if you want.
I think he makes some compelling arguments, but I wonder if the owners in the league are like, all right, how long is this deal going to be? And are we mortgaging everything for, like, let's face it, Caitlin Clark is a phenomenon that has done untold amounts of great things for their business. And are they like, are we setting a dangerous bar going forward for the post Caitlin Clark era? Cause I'm sure they're worried, like, will this fall apart once we lose our, like, you know, shining star, or will it continue to build? And I could see why the league would think it would continue to build.
Did you guys hear the, are you going to play the L Duncan joke? I guess we'll save it for tomorrow because Bobby wants to get canceled tomorrow as well.
What?
Oh my God.
Why?
Why do you like getting canceled so much?
All right, let's see. We'll unveil Bobby's material because WNBA tomorrow probably won't be relevant for
I'll kill. I'll get rid of two of them, but I'll use three of them.
This is L. Duncan, ESPN broadcaster, and she made a below the belt, I think, comment at the All Star weekend.
Well, again, we hope it gets a little bit more competitive because, like, a girl's trip to Cancun right now, there's no game. It's a 22-point game for Team Collier. That's a walk-off. Sabrina Ionescu, there she is. from the four-point circle. Second half action from Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Tips after this.
Al, you're in timeout.
Okay,
you're
done.
Maybe you should have read that live too, Peyton. What happened?
That's just the computer.
The computer. Being glitchy. What was the joke she said, the line?
She said, like a girl's trip to Cancun, there's no D. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's bad for ESPN. That's a no-no, making that joke.
Why?
It's a funny joke.
She's a lady. It's fine.
Yep. Because it's like, it's what type of humor would I call it?
Locker room humor.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Locker room talk.
Only in a man's locker room do they talk that way.
I feel like that is probably not accurate, but I don't know.
I feel like that's not accurate as well.
Good joke, though.
It's good. The setup could have been better. In fact, I think there are three that could have been better. I think there are five, but I'm only going to tell you three of them because you seem to think I should cut some of them. All right. So I would have liked, just like John Bobbitt's inseam, there's no D.
Oh, dang.
Wow. It's good, right?
It's old, though.
It's old.
It's old.
It's for an older crowd.
Peyton, do you know who John Bobbitt is?
No.
Aiden? Google him.
No? Oh, Aiden doesn't know. You all should look him up for
did
your
John
own
Bobbitt get married again? And if so, was he the most attentive husband in the world?
I would imagine.
It would have mattered.
Just like RJ Choppy's straight ticket ballot, there's no D.
I don't do a straight ticket
ballot.
It's a joke. And then just like recently revised swimming records, there's no D.
Oh, God.
Topical. Those are all pretty good.
Not
They're
bad.
Good.
Not
yeah.
Bad, not bad.
And then I killed the other two.
Okay.
Corey, I'll show them to you at the break.
Corey, what's coming up?
Guys, we might have a full hour of Dallas Cowboys press conference from 1 to 2 today. And that's what we're looking forward to the most is hearing from the Cowboys and all the future things.
Are you embarrassed?
There. Well.
Over, under, take Jerry's opening statement out. Over, under 4.5 minutes before Schottenheimer speaks.
Over.
Over.
Okay, these guys took the under. I'm going to take the over as well.
Yeah. Yeah, Jerry likes to give his speech. What's
but
interesting.
You got to take the speech out of it.
Oh.
But then the first question is going to be like, what's up with Micah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be him. He might even defer to Steven a little bit. But he's going to answer, and then he's going to say, Steven, what do you think?
And then the next question is going to be, but seriously, what's up with Micah's contract?
Yeah, that's how it's going to go. And what I'm interested to know this year what Jerry's speech will be about. Because the last few years, it's been something different as a setup. Like, you know, I need this, I had this, the history, all these things. And I wonder how much it's going to connect to the Netflix series that's going to be coming out soon and how, like, how it might be in that vein somewhere.
If you are not working today and you're trying to get hammered, drink every time Jerry says shoddy the way he does.
Shoddy.
Oh, shoddy.
Oh, shoddy.
A shoddy.
And I think we're going to get speed dial for 911 in case you get alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, I think he'll drop that the way he loves saying it like that, like 8 times. Oh, shoddy.
Oh, shoddy.
Oh, you think, I was thinking even more than that,
more?
Maybe. Because I think anytime he refers to him, he's going to say shoddy like that. He's not. I don't think he wants to say Brian or Schottenheimer because he said it. I felt like he said it 20 times during the press conference in January.
What else?
Will Steven laugh?
Oh, yeah.
Will you hear the...
I don't know. Last time he talked to the media and Micah came up, he wasn't laughing very much. He was kind of annoyed.
So you guys are flying out after the show?
That's right.
Yep. Hop on a plane, head to California.
What's on the Oxnard to-do list? Anything, any events going out there? A concert, a Cirque du Soleil?
Well, the cheerleaders told us last week to come by and say hi to
them. Oh, they did?
That is right, Maddie and Charlie.
And I asked them if that was true because that's what Corey said, and they go, no, yeah, you should come see us.
Yes, they absolutely did. Okay. So we got to go say hi
to
them.
Like, is what you told Corey true?
We're trying to get a video of Kevin learning how to kick from Brandon Aubrey set up. So we're squaring that away right now because last year, remember, he tried to fly away.
Yeah,
while he was trying to kick.
Played the good one that almost went in.
We're going to get some tips from that. Also,
so you're teaching German kids how to play baseball, but Brandon Aubrey's going to teach you how to kick.
That's right.
I thought the Blockbuster folks said you knew how to kick.
Oh,
if it was a window kicking competition, I could do much better. I just can't get the steps right to get down and kick.
You
the
think
ball.
You have the point of contact right?
Oh, yeah.
Are you toeing it?
Yo, he's a toe kicker. He's like Lou Groza.
Yeah. Because the soccer players, I think you're supposed to strike it like here.
Yeah, inside. But Kevin also does when he runs, he does the hop.
I tried that once.
Yeah, what is that? Angels in the outfield?
It didn't work.
Corey, I tried to keep his balance.
I tried something fancy like that. That one was the
Do
worst.
You remember Paul Edinger, the old
also
Bears
left-footed.
Kicker? Oh. Do the Paul Edinger where he turns his back and then he does a full loop to kick.
Whoa. You throw left-handed?
That's a good idea. No.
You bat left-handed?
No.
Only left-footed?
That's right.
He's supposed to write left-handed.
He's supposed to?
A nun hit him in the hand or something.
She wasn't a nun. She was a regular old lady.
I had the opposite. I was supposed to write with my right hand. My mom put the pen in my left hand. So writing is the only thing I do with my left.
Mm-hmm. You don't write with your left hand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yep.
No, man, that's just like Chop when you said CeeDee Lamb and Zach Martin. You're like, their opinions are irrelevant about how it affected them. Yeah. Bobby's like, I write with my left hand, Choppy. No, you don't.
Well, look, I am going to miss you all in person.
I have to.
I know.
Corey.
I know.
I like you guys.
I love you guys.
Is this emotional to you, like the end of Fast 7?
Not really emotional.
Okay.
So is everything
the end of Fast 7 was very emotional.
I had to get out to go take a shower. Everything cool with you and G-Bag now, or...
I'm cool. I thought it was funny playing their stuff today. Zach seems like the most bothered.
Yeah, every time he comes in here, he's just like, those guys. Yeah. He's like,
I'll see
wait.
You in Oxnard, sir.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
you
good
will.
Luck. Yeah, good luck to y'all.
And
next
then apparently,
week.
Like, maybe Broadus is a little angry.
Yeah. Dawson's the most furious, though.
That
Giafalo
doesn't feel right.
Giafalo's just always like, damn, Sean and RJ.
That is the way he is.
Yeah, it is.
Never seen him so mad.
All right, we're back tomorrow morning. You guys have a fantastic show. Everyone else, enjoy the rest of your Monday. KNC Masterpiece is next.